Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but on Wednesday, in addition to it being Valentine's Day, I'm trying to help you out, fellas. Valentine's Day Wednesday. In addition to it being Valentine's Day on Wednesday, it is also Ash Wednesday. We begin Lent on Wednesday of this week. And so that's a season where many people will say they're going to undertake a penance, or they're going to undertake some spiritual practice in the hopes of deepening their relationship at this special time of grace with the Trinity, coming close to Jesus as we remember his giving of himself on the cross and his resurrection on Easter Sunday. So all that's going on over the course of the next little bit more than 40 days. And so this would be a perfect opportunity to have a conversation. We thought about prayer. And so we welcome Father Boniface Hicks this hour, who has helped many people with prayer, has written about prayer. He's a Benedictine monk of St. Vincent Archabbey and a Catholic priest and director of spiritual formation at St. Vincent Seminary and director of the Institute for Ministry Formation at St. Vincent Seminary. Among his books, Personal Prayer, A Guide for Receiving the Father's Love, a book that he wrote with his confrere, his fellow monk, Father Thomas Acklin. Father Boniface Hicks, thank you very much for being here with us.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's a real honor. Catholic Answers is a great service and a joy to be with you, and especially on this topic.
Well, thank you. The Benedictines are pretty good, too.
We like them.
Yeah. We're awful glad you're here. I mean, you come highly recommended. Now you're working with men, right? On the through Lent, you'll be working with the Exodus 90 program. Is that right?
Yeah, Exodus 90 actually started January 1st.
Okay.
With 90 days up until Easter. But they have a couple of entryways along the way. So there was a special entryway 70 days in, Septuagesima Sunday, as the tradition is, and then also a starting point at Lent. And they've really facilitated a smooth entryway. If guys who are doing it wanted others to join them just for Lent, the disciplines are the same, the prayer is the same, the reflections are the same also, and so it's a smooth entryway. But a nice way to establish some disciplines. I was just telling a directee yesterday, actually, who was looking for something to do for Lent. And I said, do you think about Exodus 90? And we went through the disciplines. And he's like, oh, I do most of those. A couple of them would really help me out. And yeah, it'd be great to commit and get a group together. So yeah. Anyway,
wonderful.
I'm working with Exodus 90. My contribution is, at this point, some weekly videos that I do. We're trying to have a sense of all making the journey together. And so we take some input from people and some questions. And then I have a conversation. We record that every Monday. And so it's making progress through the Exodus period leading up to Easter.
Okay. So the thing that I guess Lent in a certain way, it might be reminiscent for secular people, might think of it as like what you do on New Year's Day. You have that resolution, I'm going to try new things. But it sounds like right from the get-go, what you're saying is it's not a me thing. The community is actually helpful in doing that, because if you're going to be gathering this giant community of men to pray and endure together, that says something about the value of community in prayer.
Yeah, I think it's one of the real strengths of Exodus, and it's one of the reasons that when they reached out to me, I was happy to support them, is because of that dimension of fraternity, which is really essential to Exodus. The disciplines are one thing, the prayer is another thing, but that can kind of lean toward creating like Catholic superstars or a sort of Pelagian do-it-yourself will-based
right.
You know, athleticism or something, which has a value. I mean, if we can make sacrifices for the soccer field, we should make sacrifices for the Lord. But at the same time, if it's really Catholic, then the dimension of fraternity is essential, because heaven is not disciplines in prayer. Heaven is a communion of persons. Being in a communion of persons with the whole communion of saints, in a communion of persons with the communion of the Trinity, and that's what all of that discipline in prayer finds its fulfillment in. And so to have that fraternal dimension at the outset, I think is a really beautiful feature of Exodus 90. And they shape that very nicely with weekly meetings and anchor that you check in daily. And the app, that would be the place to go. If anybody's interested, you can get the app Exodus 90 for free, and you can take a look at it and see what's there. And it describes the whole program. But they make it really easy to foster community. And then one of my other contributions was to write a formation pack, which is what they call it, 10 like 1,000-word essays on how to accompany another person, how to walk with another person and engage them. And that's my the other book that I co-authored with Father Tom on spiritual direction. And that's really one of the central things that I do in my ministry is.
Well, a little froze there for a second, but Father Boniface Hicks is our guest. He's a Benedictine monk and priest of the St. Vincent Arch Abbey in La Trobe, Pennsylvania. And we thought we would talk about prayer today because we're coming up on that season where so many people make that decision. I'm going to do something to deepen my spiritual life. The caricature is giving up chocolate. And actually, I'm not one of those people who looks down on giving up chocolate. I think that's a lovely penance. But there's something, even the person who just says, I'm going to give up chocolate, it's not about the chocolate. It's about God. I want to ask you about the kind of subhead of your book, Personal Prayer. A guide for receiving the Father's love. Is that what prayer is all about?
Yeah, prayer is ultimately our relationship with God. And He is the one who initiates the relationship. He is the one who made Himself available to us to reach out to us. And really, prayer is a response to His love. But how do I receive His love? How do I get to know Him? How do I hear His voice? How do I open my heart to Him? Getting into those details is what Father Tom and I do quite a bit in the book. Just to say it simply, I would say prayer is about our relationship with God. And that's going to be a give and a take. A lot of times we reduce prayer to just a lot of giving. I say a lot of prayers. It's all sort of me to Him. But learning how to make open prayer to more of a relationship, that it's me to Him, but it's also Him to me. And even the me to Him parts can open up spaces of greater vulnerability as we ask questions, as we share our hearts, as we pour out our concerns, as we admit our weakness and ask for His mercy, and a lot of ways that we can open our hearts to Him that help us to receive more of His love.
So why is it so hard? Like, why do we need Exodus 90 and Lent and, you know, all the seasons of the church and monasteries and all of this is to help us to receive the love of God our Father who doesn't withhold that love at all, is not at all withholding of His love. Why is it so hard to pray?
Well, it's a great question. One of the things that we try to do in the book and that I like to promote is, first of all, we know more about prayer than we think we do, because prayer really does have an analogy to human relationships. And we are born into relationship. We were conceived and we were, first of all, created by God. That relationship was established before we had consciousness in any way. And then we're conceived into a mother's womb. We're made for relationships. We understand relationships. And without them, we wither in a variety of ways. So it really is that relational knowledge, that relational intuition that we're building up all the time, which flows smoothly into prayer if we understand what's happening there. So just to say, we actually have a lot more than we realize, that just making the connection with God a little bit more explicit then takes some energy. And that's because there are things that God shouts at us. Those are called the Ten Commandments. God thunders them on Mount Sinai. He has smoke and fire and earthquakes to tell us the Ten Commandments. And that's the resounding impact of our conscience and the law that's written on our hearts. And so He speaks very loudly in that way. Now, again, the Ten Commandments are all about fostering relationships, living at least in a context of justice with my fellow man, on which I can then develop relationships of charity with God and with others. But then when it comes to God's revealing His love for me personally, He doesn't want to overwhelm me. And so He speaks very softly because He really wants my freedom. He doesn't want my slavish response like a slave. He wants my loving response like a free citizen, like a free child. And so his whispering is very quiet so that if we want to ignore him, we can ignore him. And he's not going to force us to listen to him. Again, even the Ten Commandments, we can silence them, although they resound more loudly. But those more personal expressions of his love require us to make some space for him and to really, he says, like, you can almost think of him like a shy child. Do you really want to listen to me? Do you really want to know how much I love you? Do you really want to receive me and to follow me more closely and be one with me? He wants a loving exchange. He doesn't want that to be forced.
Father Boniface Hicks is our guest. We're talking about prayer as we head into the season of Lent. All the seasons of the church are to help us in receiving God's love. But Lent, boy, we love us some Lent. I suppose we dread Lent and we love Lent. Maybe that's also the truth about prayer in general. Father is the author of quite a few books, and he does spiritual direction with people and helps to form spiritual directors and priests in their own prayer lives and in helping other people in their prayer lives. And he's here to help us with our prayer life today. We'll continue with that conversation right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features daily Mass, prayers, articles, and meditations in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church. On the web at magnificat.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
One time somebody said to me, "Why don't you air these people?" And I said, "No, because I don't think they're Catholic." He says, "By what right do you have to say that?" I said, "I own the network."
Mother Angelica Live Classics, tomorrow night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Television and Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live on this Monday as we prepare ourselves to begin Lent on Wednesday. We're speaking with Father Boniface Hicks about prayer, just about the importance of prayer, why it matters, and how to do it are kind of our themes. Father, in addition to the book that we were just talking about, Personal Prayer, A Guide for Receiving the Father's Love, pretty soon you're going to have another book coming out on the hidden power of silence in the Mass. So I'll tell you what, I believe like the word silence is gaining a reputation because there's just no silence in our world. And I actually think even secular people know I need that. I don't know how to get it or how to maintain it. So tell us about the hidden power of silence in the Mass.
Well, it's the book in general is a guide about how to encounter Christ in the Mass. That the Mass is not just something I do, check off the boxes, get in, get out, but it's really, and the encounter is an interior encounter. And in order to develop a real interior silence, so to use some different language, you know, what do we call attention? If I hold attention, as you're doing for me right now, you're holding space for me, you're silencing a lot of internal things. You're not indulging this thought, that thought, running off in that path, doing what, you're holding space for me, you're holding attention. And to hold our attention for the sake of listening is the kind of space that we need to create in our hearts to receive the Lord. And that's really what we're doing at the beginning of Mass in the introductory rites. We're clearing things out. And then we're holding space, silence, in order to hear the word proclaimed to us for the sake of encounter. And then also self-gift a lot of times happens in silence, as it does in the Mass. There are specific times during the Mass that we hold for silence at the penitential, well, before the Mass, the church is supposed to be in silence, then the penitential rite, and then the collect also, when the priest says, "Let us pray," he's supposed to hold some silence. And then moving into the liturgy of the word, that's supposed to include some little bits of silence, but then, of course, the silent attention. A lot of times the offertory is, again, in silence as the priest is preparing the altar. A lot of times we look at that like an intermission. You know, we got to have a smoke break, use the bathroom.
Get your envelope out.
Right. I mean, that's actually one of the richest places in the Mass. That was, you know, this kind of classic question of like, how much of the Mass do you need to be there for it to count, right? The old answer to that question was in time for the offertory, because that's what we have in a Mass. We have an offertory. It's one of the things that makes the Mass different than a communion service. You don't have an offertory in a communion service because there's nothing being consecrated there. So the offertory is a really rich period of silence. That's our chance to respond. And then another kind of silence that we have is the kind of silence that goes beyond words. It's the silence of adoration. It's the silence of contemplation. It's the silence of being in the presence of something much greater than we are. And so we're silenced by that. We're stupefied by the reality. And that's what we have in the Eucharistic prayer and the elevation as the priest holds up the host for adoration. And that's what we have also in the time after communion. We've just been brought into an encounter that silences us, but now a silent presence in words. And then after Mass, we're encouraged to stay and make a thanksgiving, to savor the encounter. So those are the five movements I go through in the Mass, which are five movements in general of interiority in prayer, making space, listening attentively, offering in response, adoration in silence, and then savoring in silence. And so those correspond with the periods in the Mass. And anyway,
kind of confront you on one thing, because you use the analogy of listening to you, and that is correct. In a conversation, in order to engage in the conversation, I have to not be doing other things. And so the parental frustration of put your phone down, we're talking right now, you know, this is that. But here's what I hear from lots of people, and I want to give it to you. I don't know what to listen for. I don't know what I'm doing. Like when you say listen to God, what does that even mean? Like, I think there's many people who are, that's a blank space in their imagination. They don't have a reference point for what you're talking about. So what are you talking about when you say it's a conversation, your part is to listen?
Beautiful. I love questions like that. That's the place that we need to go to get very real about what prayer is. And I'm going to give myself a wild card out of this to start with, which is to say, do it, and prayer itself will teach you. So okay. if you take the time each day, 10, 15 minutes, and you just create space for God, specifically for him, things will grow. So he does have a vested interest and he does help us with this. But then let me insert a few bits into that to help out as well. One of them is the scripture. So St. Jerome said, when we read scripture, God speaks to us. And then in our prayers, we speak to God. And so scripture is a way to allow God's voice. It's his universal voice for everybody. We can make it personal. And I always recommend the Gospels. It's the easiest entry point. Don't make it harder on yourself than is necessary. And reading any of the four Gospels, and you can even track along with the daily Mass readings. But just to read a little bit slowly, and then pay attention to what's happening in your heart. A little bit of visualization can help. You are coming into the presence of one who loves infinitely. So we all have some experience of what love a little bit is. This is one who loves us infinitely. Mm. So then we start to imagine, okay, well, this is the thing that's on my heart. Lord, I'm really struggling with some people in my life. I'm struggling with what to do next in my life, and I really need your help with that. How is one who loves infinitely going to receive you in that? And just putting those pieces together and then leaving a little bit of silence. And maybe what comes to your mind is, well, Jesus saying, I'm here for you. I have it. I won't leave you. Maybe it's something concrete. Reach out to your wife. Apologize to her. So those kinds of things come up when we place ourselves in God's presence, when we bring to the fore, especially things that matter to us, a little bit more vulnerable space in our own hearts, and when we place that before a person who loves us infinitely. So now it's a relationship, it's not a magic trick. So it doesn't develop overnight. It develops over time. And as we dedicate more time to knowing him, and again, scripture, steadily receiving from that, the liturgy, the masses I've just been talking about, steadily receiving from that, dedicating the time each day so that God doesn't feel like this is his one chance to reach you, but he can actually help to form your heart in the process. These are all things that over time we begin to develop a real relationship with God.
And so what happens to me then? I mean, I hate to make it all about me, but I love making it all about me. Father, so what happens to me, the one who prays, if I accept this, if I accept that this is a relational thing? It involves talking on my part, but it also involves developing this habit and this mode of listening. What is meant to happen to me in all of this?
Well, we're steadily transformed. So the whole way that we begin to look at the world, that we behave, that we understand life, that we're steadily transformed. It's really the Holy Spirit begins to form us more and more into Christ. Because what happened at baptism? At baptism, we were immersed into Christ, and the seeds of glory are planted in us. And then over time, they grow and they transform us. They transform our interior freedom. They transform the way that we encounter others. They transform the way that we think and see. All of that begins to happen over time, steadily. So that's what starts to happen. And then I start to know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit more personally, and more. I have greater familiarity. Just like, you know, The human analogy works with all of these things. You meet a woman the first time, you go on the first date. How much of yourself are you revealing to her? How much of her are you getting to know? Probably the best of both of you. In an embarrassing moment, something slips out that you didn't plan on, and that actually drew you closer together. And over time, with greater vulnerability, greater trust, you expose more of your life, and you come into a deep, more intimate communion of persons with this woman who, you know, maybe you marry and you have children, and all of those things develop. Eventually your whole relationship, your whole life comes into relationship with this person. And that's what's meant to happen for us in prayer too, is that we steadily bring our whole life into relationship with God. Again, a lot of times we start with the strongest parts of us that we're a little more proud of, the places we at least have some feeling will be lovable. And so we show him those, we complete our, you know, this would be the, one of the things about Exodus 90 is it sets a standard that if it's working well, you don't actually do it perfectly. You fall short maybe many times. And in that process, not only do you bring your accomplishments to God, because there are many of those, thank God, but you also bring your failures to God. You bring your weakness to God. You bring your sins to God. You bring your whole life into relationship with God, into relationship with God's love. You discover that you are totally lovable. And even the parts of you that are broken and sinful, he redeems by that love. And that changes our whole life.
This is what I think many people mean when they use phrases like prayer works and that kind of thing. I sometimes feel dubious about that phrase, because I feel like, God works. You know, what you need is God, and prayer is your means to God. But I think that's what people mean, is that real human beings do experience transformation in the relationship with God. There's a kind of hopelessness in the world of, well, I am what I am. Yeah, you are what you are, and it's good. But real people every day, and we know it here, I imagine you hear it too at the monastery, but people tell us, I've been transformed by prayer. I've been transformed by this encounter.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And just as any relationship forms us, that's why we want to have good friendships with good people. Relationships transform us. We're transformed by, we make some part of ourselves available to that person, and we allow ourselves to be formed. We pick up phrases, vocabulary, habits, different ways of seeing the world, our affections, our responses, a lot of these things are formed. So, and that happens, and that all flows into our relationship with God too. We always bring ourselves into prayer, but then we really receive from him. We receive from the Gospels, we receive from the Mass, and then we receive from these personal ways that he speaks to me at different times. When I've come before him. Well, when I was discerning my vocation, I really loved the Franciscans of the Renewal in New York and visited them, really saw myself there. I had also visited here at St. Vincent, but on a last kind of round of vocation visits, when I was there, I kept trying to see myself there, struggling. I couldn't see myself there. And then I finally realized maybe God wants me to come to St. Vincent. And I made an act of surrender and just said, well, and it was very sincere. You know, I said, Lord, I trust you, and I know you know what's best for my life, and I want to do what you want me to do. If you want me to go to St. Vincent, I'll go to St. Vincent. And I was flooded with peace.
Isn't that? Yeah, let's talk about peace when we come back. And also get into the nitty-gritty practical points of praying as we approach Lent. Father Boniface Hicks is our guest. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live right after this. When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Want to get right to the core of Christ's saving message? Want a roadmap for living the life Christ calls you to? It's time to look again at the Beatitudes. In his new book, Heart of the Gospel, How the Beatitudes Show Us God's Plan for Happiness, Father Sebastian Walsh demonstrates compellingly how these eight declarations make up the foundation, the essence, and the final goal of Jesus' teaching. Heart of the Gospel illuminates the scriptural passages from which we get the Beatitudes, explains the significance of their wording, their order, and their timing in Jesus' ministry. And it draws out edifying parallels and connections with salvation history and the lives of the saints. Most importantly, Father Walsh offers wise counsel from his own work as a priest and teacher to help you live the Beatitudes in your own life. Order your copy of Heart of the Gospel today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Father Boniface Hicks, and we're talking about prayer. We'll get right back to that. I do have to, I have the great privilege of inviting you again to come with us on the Catholic Answers Cruise. That would be June 29th, starting in Montreal and ending in Boston on July 6th. And it being Valentine's week this week, if you use the promo code LOVEBOAT when you sign up for the cruise, yes, I said Love Boat, Darren. You get $150 off any ticket that you might buy there. You just go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com. It's going to be a great time. We're going to do this show on the ship. We'll do a flannel panel with Chris and Joe, and we've got wonderful speakers. We'll talk about the coming of the gospel into the new world. Canada is a wonderful place to talk about that. You have these fantastic Jesuits that you get to talk about, and many others, Kateri Tekakwitha, and all kinds of wonderful saints, both from Europe and from the Americas. That encounter is surprising, amazing, and in many cases, really, really inspiring. So we'll talk about that, and we'll just have a great time. Check it out at CatholicAnswersCruise.com. This week, Valentine's week, use the promo code LOVEBOAT and get $150 off your ticket. Father Boniface Hicks is a Benedictine priest. Benedictine's known for prayer. So prayer is a big part of your life, Father. If you're living a monastic life, your whole day is kind of organized around times of prayer.
Yeah, that's right. The Benedictines are really dedicated to the Liturgy of the Hours is what it's usually referred to as. We call it the Divine Office or the Opus Dei, the work of God. And Saint Benedict arranges the whole life of the monk around awareness of God's presence. It's a helpful thing to think about because Saint Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. And Jesus says, pray without growing weary. And so Saint Benedict says in his rule, we know that God's presence is always with us. And in some sense, that's the organization of the whole rule, is how the monk can be aware of God's presence in everything, in the guest, in the sick, in the abbot, in the young, in the old, in at the dinner table and out in the fields working. But he says, we should be especially convinced of this when we're praying the divine office. And so those gathering points for prayer are really meant to be points of strong contact with God spread throughout the day. And that's really an extension of the liturgy of the Eucharist, the Mass, into the day with these times of praise, a sacrifice of praise, taking up the words of God, especially in the Psalms. And Gregorian chant, of course, comes from the Benedictines, not just gathering to recite the Psalms, but even to sing the Psalms. And so we do that also here at St. Vincent Arch Abbey in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. We gather multiple times a day as a monastic community, and we interrupt our work. We start our day, interrupt our work multiple times, and those are really the strong points and the consistent points in every day.
I wonder how many young people just have never had the experience of a monastery and so don't know that they could be wildly happy there, that there are real normal regular people, computer scientists, for example, who become monks and find that it is the most, monks and both men and women find the monastery to be the place of their flourishing. And I always am so happy when we have a happy monk on, who, by the way, just so the listener knows, Father has a doctorate in computer science. And so I have you here, I want to get out the message while we're talking about prayer. You can make your life a life of prayer, and it can be a really happy life.
Yeah, it really is. It's a beautiful life to live in a community of men whose lives are oriented around the praises of God. And we're really able to support each other in that. And then different monasteries are also carrying out different ministries. Our monastery runs St. Vincent College, St. Vincent Seminary, a number of parishes, some foreign missions. We're the largest Benedictine monastery in the world, so we have a lot of stuff going on. But you can be happy, a lot of good young people. We have several postulants now, really solid young men, and a couple of novices. And it's a joyful community, a warm community. There's a lot of love. And there's a real dedication, a seriousness about the spiritual life that each of us grow in. So, yeah, certainly would warmly welcome anybody to inquire. stvincentmonks.com is our vocations website. And there are a number of other monasteries maybe in your area that are worth checking out.
I talked, however, I want to give the other side of it. I talked to a Benedictine abbot one time, and I said, Father, what's the hardest thing about living in community? And he said, without missing a beat, community. So what do you make of that?
Well, and I want to come back to your good challenge and wise comment earlier. Why is prayer so hard? Why is community so hard?
Yeah, right.
Because we have a lot of issues, right? The hard thing about community is not community, it's me. I'm the hard thing about community. Community just happens to bring out all of my stuff. And then I have to face my own pride and my own defenses, and I have to face my own arrogance and my zeal to do too many things, probably my ambitions, and you know, it's my own stuff that makes every relationship hard, and it's my own stuff that makes prayer hard. And part of that is because I try to keep that stuff of my life out of it. I don't want to show God all of my ambitions, all of my arrogance, my pride,
right.
The fact that secretly I think I'm smarter than he is. And, you know, I try to stuff all that somewhere. And just like good community brings that out, if you're consistent in prayer, that also comes out. And what does God do? He doesn't stamp me out. He smiles at me. It's nice, Boniface, that you think you're so smart. and then I'm humbled, and he receives me with love, and then I grow in relationship with him. And prayer and community in that sense really go hand in hand. And that's why, again, I really appreciate that about Exodus 90, appreciate that about the Benedictines. And I think it needs to be said, because our parishes, which should be real communities of prayer, schools of prayer, is what John Paul II exhorted us to form at the beginning of the new millennium. Our parishes should be schools of prayer. And I wonder how much that really happens, that we foster the kind of community and supportive relationships that we need there.
A big thing in our culture now is mindfulness and meditation. You hear lots of people talk about that. I don't doubt that they're experiencing what they say they're experiencing. Is that the same thing as Christian prayer, or is it just, well, this is how the Christians do it, or how should I think about that?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And if you look to the monastic tradition, you find in the 3rd, 4th, 5th century, the Desert Fathers talking about a process of watchfulness or developing a kind of sobriety. When St. Peter says, be sober and alert, for the devil, your opponent, the devil, is prowling like a roaring lion, that sober and alert are two words that the desert monks use. And they're talking about a basic level of paying attention to what's happening inside of me. Because how does God speak? God speaks in my thoughts in a personal way. And so I need to know what my thoughts are. I need to know what's happening inside of me. Ignatius of Loyola gives us some indicators for spiritual consolation or spiritual desolation. And knowing the difference of what's happening inside of me is the difference between the good spirit and the bad spirit working on me and trying to communicate with me. So that basic level of paying attention to myself, but especially in our society where there's a lot of trauma, a lot of things can be going on. If you're in fight or flight mode, it's pretty hard to do anything except pay attention to the racing thoughts, the ruminations, the way of fleeing inside of us. And so some basic techniques that I think psychology has helped us to develop, grounding techniques, you know, take a couple of deep breaths, just pay attention to your thinking, make some space internally, find a place where you can settle yourself down. This is what Cardinal Ratzinger addressed these questions in a letter, which is outstanding, in 1989, called a Letter to Bishops on Various Aspects of Christian Meditation, or in Latin, Orationis Formas. And he talks about some things that you also find in other non-Christian religions, because they're not prayer as such. They're actually what he calls psychophysical preparations for prayer. So it's just a way of like helping our humanity to settle down so that I can pray, so that I can enter into relationships, so that I can listen. So whatever all of the details of those things are, just basic, so a little bit of, you know, creating a prayer place, settling down, taking some deep breaths, maybe imagining yourself in a prayer place, imagining the Lord, just different things to kind of settle our nervous system a bit. That's a preparation for prayer. Like it's a preparation for relationship. I can't enter into relationship if I'm in fight or flight mode all the time.
Right.
So just learning how to ground is a way of entering into relationship with God.
I imagine the most common, I don't know, you're a spiritual director, you would know, but I imagine it's not unusual for you to hear, I don't have time, or how am I going to make time for this? You know, I've got the kids, I've got the job, I've got the carpool. Father, how am I going to make time? What does a spiritual director say to the person who truly probably wants prayer in their life, but just feels overwhelmed to find the time to do it?
Well, I do like to recognize, first of all, that we tend to have different parts of us. There's a part of us that wants to pray, but there's a part of us that doesn't want to pray.
Okay.
And I think it just helps to be honest about that up front.
Yes, right.
You know, there's a part of you that doesn't want to pray, and there's no shame in that. You know, we can just acknowledge that and say, well, and if we can get into that a little bit, like, why don't you? What are you afraid of? Or what's the concern? And sometimes it's things like, well, I'm afraid of what I'll hear or what I won't hear, or that I don't know how to do it right, or that, and what I know is that if I get some more tasks done, I'll feel useful. If I sit there in prayer, I don't know if I'll feel useful. Well, why are you worried about feeling useful? Right? So there are deeper questions that opens up for us to explore. So I often find that's where the, you know, is there some resistance? Because the reality is, you know, we got lots of time. It's one of the things in Exodus 90, you know, if some of the disciplines are like no television, no entertainment, no movies, no social media, no, you know, unnecessary internet browse. And suddenly you have a lot of time when you turn all that stuff off. And still people won't have time. Well, what's going on there? There's some other resistance that's happening.
Oh, I want to talk more about that. I think I got some of that, Father. But we got to take a quick break. Where, Father, this is not this is my personal spiritual direction. This was going to be a show about prayer, but is now turned into my personal spiritual direction. We'll come back for more of Father helping me in my prayer life right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
This is Father Josh McCarty. We need Catholic radio in order to invite people and challenge people to lift their eyes from themselves to God and to love. And Catholic radio challenges people to see the good in the world, the faith that God offers, and the community that He's drawing us into.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul? And that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I don't know how it's going for you, but I'm having a wonderful time talking with Father Boniface Hicks. We're talking about prayer and getting ready for Lent, talking about prayer. He's the author, with Father Thomas Acklin, both of them Benedictine monks, of Personal Prayer, A Guide for Receiving the Father's Love. Father, also in April, will have a book coming out called The Hidden Power of Silence. Am I getting that right? The Hidden Power of Silence in the Mass?
That's it.
And the publisher will be Sophia Institute Press?
That's right.
I love them. They do a great job. And so check for, just maybe check out their website or look for it in the coming weeks from Sophia Institute Press, The Hidden Power of Silence in the Mass. Sometimes somebody says something and you kind of feel like, oh, that shines a light on something I didn't really want a light on. And that is that sometimes I can't find time to prayer is I don't really want to pray. I can find activities that are less noble, but somehow more attractive. And I'm talking about me personally, Father. I'm not accusing anyone else about this. I'm saying that is my spiritual condition. I would like you to solve it. You have 15 minutes.
Well, I love your honesty, and that's I think that's a great quality to bring before God, and to be honest with Him when you do pray and say, Lord, I'd really like to pray more, and I'm having a hard time with that. And then just to ask yourself the question. I think it's important to keep that shame free. You know, just be curious about it. Like, what's the resistance in me? What am I afraid of? What am I avoiding? What feels not useful enough about this? Or why do I not feel competent enough? Or do I have some questions about God's love or whether He has time for me? Or, you know, and these things are not necessarily rational things. They're things that are carried in parts of us that, you know, we're mapping a lot of other relationships onto Him. There's a little boy in us that really wants to be seen by his dad, but isn't sure that his dad really has time for him, you know, and those kinds of parts. And that's, I would describe holiness in a simple way as being able to bring our entire lives into relationship with God in His love, to really open up everything to Him. That's total love from us, and that's total love from Him. But I don't even have access to my whole heart. You know, why am I avoiding prayer? is not even a question I can always answer for myself. I need to get in touch with what's happening inside of me. And these are places where, you know, coaching, counseling, spiritual direction also can be helpful. Spouses can also be helpful. Sometimes they know you better than you know yourself. Confreres can be helpful. But yeah, just getting into some of those places in the heart that, and again, being gentle. Sometimes I have people who also come and say, well, Father, I just didn't pray. I must not want to pray. I must be a bad person. I must, you know, it's like, okay, well, that's another part of you that's trying to beat yourself up and drive yourself to better performance or something. And so, yeah, just being gentle and exploring those things. What's going on inside of me?
That requires a kind of element of trust that that's actually what God wants me to do. So I would ask for your help there, too. How does one develop trust in God? You know, that I keep coming back in my mind to your subtitle, which is about receiving the love of the Father. Well, that takes a tremendous amount of trust to commit, not to theologically understand that God is a loving Father, but to know oneself as beloved of the Father. That takes an incredible amount of trust.
And again, I think that happens incrementally across our lives. And sometimes I feel like straight A's are pretty lovable. And so I can receive God's love when I get straight A's. I'm not as convinced that an F on my report card is quite as lovable, but maybe the way that my Father received me helps me to believe that and experience it. And sometimes those tangible human experiences of love across different parts in our lives can give us confidence that God also loves us there. And I wouldn't discount the importance of the theological understanding. I mean, we need that too. Does God really love that way? Does he really love sinners to the end? Does he ever give up on people? What's he doing when people are suffering and he seems to not be doing anything? There are important theological questions also to be solved, but and to be believed, to be developed. But then those human encounters give us a taste of a more universal love. And then, of course, God does that always and infinitely in a way that no human being ever fully could. But it is a way where spiritual direction in particular is really powerful for having a person closely associated with God in my life who can receive some of those places in my heart that maybe feel a little bit less lovable. And that requires trust. Incrementally, trust grows over time as it's met with faithfulness and love.
So there is an element of just stay with it then. If it's got to develop, if it needs time to develop, then underneath that is kind of an admonition, just stay with it.
Well, as my soccer coach said, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. Good practice makes perfect. So stay with it, and also make sure that it's in the right kind of growth cycle, I guess. Stay with it in scripture. Stay with it in confronting your challenges. Stay with it in healthy relationships and friendships. Stay with it in at least an incremental movement forward.
I would say the most common, I've said this many times on the air, and I will say it to you, Father, the most common thing people ask us to pray for, when people say, you know, can we pray for you for some reason, that an enormous majority will be, pray for my children. They have left the faith, or they're shaky in the faith, or that kind of thing. I mean, this is parents are just overwhelmed with worry about their children's spiritual lives. So maybe you could say something, since we're talking about prayer, about praying for others and how we do that, why we do that. Is there a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there are a lot of ways to make offerings, and I think that's very powerful. So offering a mass, offering a sacrifice. I'm going to fast today and offer that for you. And that has a way also, if you fast a whole day, you get hungry throughout the day, and that reminds you also even to just pray for the person. In Exodus 90, they have a why. What's your why? Why are you doing this? Why are you making the sacrifices? Why are you dedicating the time? It's good to have a why when we do some different prayer activities, disciplines. So doing all of that in a kind of concrete offering sort of way, saying a rosary for somebody, a Hail Mary for somebody, you know, Those are all very good things. Then I also like to take it another step. So in a time of maybe 15 minutes or of prayer or a holy hour, a time of Eucharistic adoration, if I can take the person into my hands and just kind of hold them up to God. So my attention is focused on him. I'm looking at him and I'm just holding this person that I really love, that I care for, that I'm concerned about. I'm holding them sort of in my peripheral vision, you might say, offering them out to him. That's a really helpful way of bringing a person into my relationship with God. I think that's a useful way to think about it. And that's kind of what, you know, St. Therese was confronted with this problem that she was praying for a seminarian. Her reverend mother had asked her pray for this seminarian, and she was happy to do that. And then she was asked to pray for a second seminarian, and that broke the bank. She's like, I'm already offering everything for the first seminarian. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do now. And so she sought an answer in the scripture and found this verse in the Song of Songs. I think it's chapter 1, verse 4. Call me and we will run to you. And St. Therese had this insight. She said, oh, if I go to him and they're in my heart, I bring them with me. And then everything I do with him, I'm also always including them. So another way to say that for those parents who are concerned about their children is you seek holiness, seek the Lord, love him. Your children are embedded in your heart. You're always bringing them to him in everything that you do. Now, again, it's certainly valuable also to name them explicitly, pray for them, but be confident that as they're in your heart and you go to the Lord, you're also bringing them. And if you grow in holiness, that will also have an effect on them. Sometimes parents can feel helpless, children are out of the house, but the fact is you're so closely interconnected in the body of Christ and your holiness is going to affect their holiness. So you grow in holiness and you do a lot of good for your children.
Father Boniface Hicks is our guest. I'll just end with this question, Father. In 2 days, Lent starts. There are many people listening who I haven't prayed in 40 years or I've never tried Christian prayer. And they may feel in their heart now, okay, I accept the call. I want to pray this Lent. What advice do you give to the beginner or the re-beginner in the life of prayer?
That is a great question. I would say real concretely, we're entering into Lent, and can you think through a little space in your schedule just to open up some room? So maybe it's first thing in the morning, and say you take 10 minutes a day. Maybe you choose to do Exodus 90. They have beautiful reflections every day. It's a great starting point. But just open a little space. And then I would start real simply. You know the Our Father. Pray it slowly. Think about the words, especially if you've been away from prayer for 40 years. There's going to be something that's so familiar and yet will be very beautiful. Praying that very slowly. Pray it again. Pray it again. Slowly. Just a little simple prayer that way can take us a big step forward. If you remember how to pray a one unit of the rosary, an Our Father and 10 Hail Marys, you know, just pray it slowly. Try to visualize Jesus and know that he's so delighted that you're taking this step. Amazing to take this step. He's right there with you. Imagine him with you. If there's something that comes up, like you're not worthy, you've been away so long, you feel embarrassed, just show him that. He has so much mercy. You're always welcome. And he embraces you as you come to him. And then just to take it one more step, open up the scriptures. The Gospel of Matthew is a beautiful one. And just begin to read a little bit. Read it slowly. Think about it. And begin to visualize it. And just speak to the Lord from your heart. What are you feeling? What are you thinking? What do you want? So just a few concrete suggestions.
Father, I'm so grateful that you took this time as we're preparing for Lent. Father's the book that we've been talking about is Personal Prayer, A Guide for Receiving the Father's Love. Father Boniface Hicks, could we have your blessing and our listeners have your blessing before we go?
Absolutely. May the Holy Spirit guide you into Lent, that it becomes the best Lent of your life so far. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father, what a delightful hour. Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Great to be with you.
That'll do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.